Hello, everybody, and happy Friday. Happy Easter. Happy Good Friday. Hope you're doing well. I am well, and I'm about to jump into the last of the career series, which is building wealth as a career person. So the last two episodes thereabouts. So throughout the month of March, I've been talking about career. The first was my career lows, and the second bit was my career highs. And I really hope that really resonated with you and you had one lesson or you took one thing away, I hope. And of course, if you have feedback for me, you could email conversations@dams@gmail.com, or you could follow me on Instagram and on Facebook at Conversations with Dams, and let me know what you think, your career highs, your career lows, or if you just want to chat about something else entirely different, do let me know. You could reach out. So without further ado, I'll be talking about my career we'll be talking about creating wealth as a career person, and I just wanted to set the tone of the background. So before, maybe the last 2 to 3 years, I just always thought that it was never possible to make wealth as a career person, except you've really gone up and up the ladder, or there were some particular sectors that I thought this were the only sectors where you could actually make money or build wealth. That was always my own thinking, until 2 or 3 years ago when I realized that, hey, it's actually possible for you to build wealth even as a career person, because the truth is, not everybody is going to be an entrepreneur. I mean, there's different schools of thought about this, whether that is possible, whether that is not. Yeah, there are many schools of thought on this, and that's really not my discussion today. I just wanted to show you practical ways that things I've read, some of which I'm practicing, and just trying to just broaden our mindset, right, in how we can actually build wealth as a 9-to-5er. I think sometimes 9-to-5ers are not really appreciated. We sometimes in our society, we tend to elevate the entrepreneur who is going through a lot, who is doing everything by his or herself. He's running social media handles, responding to customers, being the front desk person and all of that, and they just see people who are 9-to-5ers as whatever you do, you still get a salary at the end of the month. And there is this sort of ego in terms of being an entrepreneur, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, it's almost the same thing when people say, oh, I have a vaginal burst, and some people say, oh, I had a C-section, and then those who had vaginal bursts begin to say, oh, we're more superior and all of that. But I've realized that over time, you actually can build wealth as a career person. And I don't want to see wealth, I don't want us to see wealth as just being a figure. Maybe when you hit the stand, yes, it means you're wealthy. Because come to look at it, those are the world standards or indexes. But wealth most times transcends beyond money. It's people. I mean, you heard proverbs of where I come from in Nigeria, where they say that it's people are the clothes you wear, right? So when you need help or something, or when you need to do when you're having your birthday, you don't do that all by yourself. You need people to be there for you. When you need something, you need people to be there for you. When you call people, it's not money that will come to you for your party and all of that stuff. It's people that will come for you. So I don't want us to think of wealth as just monetary or just having a fixed figure in mind. So I'll just run through a list, and hopefully that can help you. It can help us, and we can pick up from there. No matter where you are on the ladder, we can always move forward. That's what I believe. So the first thing is for you to have an income, right? So I believe as a 9-to-5er, no matter now the scale or the amount or whatever it is, it's a completely different conversation. But at least have something you're earning. Know that you're bringing in something, no matter how small or how little it is. Just make sure that you have something that you are doing, except you've heard God expressly tell you that you're not to pick up a career, you're not to do a business. I mean, I've had stories of people who've actually had that kind of instructions, but sometimes later God allows them to pick it up again. Some people, God tells them, you are not doing any of those, just stay on this path, because Manasseh, we're not going to be expecting anything to be thrown down from heaven. If God wants to do anything in your life, he's going to use the same human beings, the same people, the same man. And when I say man, I mean man in the context of human being, not just gender, maybe man or woman. So manner assist, you have to get to work. You really do have to get to work. Don't be lazy. There's a passage in the Bible that says, if you fold your arms to rest and all of that, like, for me, I think the word is when it said poverty will pounce on you. I like the word pounce, like omadabwe. Sorry, I had to just say that in Yoruba, like it will cover you like a cloth. That's what poverty is going to do, because you are lazy and you're not doing what you're supposed to do part time. So, one is have an income. Two for me will be money. Grows by saving and investment. In fact, money really actually grows by investing, not by saving, because when you keep the money in your account, there's inflation, there's all sorts of things. If you're like me, there are times I said, oh, I put money aside in my account and I'll still go back, because I'm the one that puts it there. I'll still go back to be the one to remove the money there. So if possible, have a way where you can lock the savings somewhere where you know it to really take an effort to be able to get that money. And then also investment, that's the only way money will grow. Money does not grow by just stacking and stacking and stacking and keeping it in there. You remember the man in the Bible where the Bible addressed him as the rich fool, where he just had things and was just keeping and just leaving it there, sort of to rot, because that's what happens over time. Forget the fact that it's inside your bank account. Money only grows by invest. So speak to people who are experts in this area. Speak to finance people. Speak to someone that you respect and trust. I mean, just do your due diligence before going into anything investment. I would advise, and of course, in this period, this is not the season to just put your money anywhere, to just be saying, I think, or people say, oh, I think this particular company is moving, maybe I should invest in this, or this particular company is moving. Speak to God also, in as much as you speak to the finance experts for advice, also speak to God and be discerning and know where to put your money. But you need to know that the only way money grows is by investing. And sometimes you can make mistakes, sometimes you get your hands burnt, but it's all part of taking that risk to be able to increase your money as a career person. You know, as a career person, nobody gives you a lump sum of 40 million. I mean, some people may have had that chance to be able to gather that maybe over a year or whatever, depending on the kind of job you do. But in a career, they want to pay you 40 million, right? What happens is that money is broken down into months. Like, that is broken down into months. January, they pay you some, you've taken maybe 10,000 out of that 40 million. February, you've taken another 10,000 out of that 40 million. March, you take, so like that gradually, because you're being paid in bits and pieces like that, you will not realize how much. So for example, say someone started a career at 18 and retires at 60 and has had cumulatively within those years 40 million pounds or dollars or naira, but in this case let's say 40 million pounds. Divide that by the number of years the person has been working and what they've been giving the person instrumentally, because that essentially is what a salary is. You have been giving money instrumentally, so you cannot sit down and just eat the whole 40 million just like that. You have to think of the fact that there are things you pay for now, so your rent, your recurring expenses, your bills, light, water, and all of that. Then there's a portion for investment, And then there's another portion for savings. But as I said, speak to someone who is knowledgeable in this area so you don't make a mistake and get burnt at the end of the day. Yeah. So the other bit for me will be to start saving and preparing for retirement for day one. See, you will not realize when 25 years or 30 years have gone and passed in your career like super, super fast. So you need to start thinking of how you want to retire. For example, if you're being paid all throughout your lifetime, you're going to be paid maybe $100 million dollars throughout your 25 or 30 years in career. Know that nobody will just come and dump $100 million in front of you, right? Also, just throw it into your account. If you're a salary earner, it's going to be broken down into, say, maybe $5,000 like that for a period of those 25 or 30 years. It just means that a portion of that must go to the future. A portion of that must service what you have now. So your rent, your water bills, light bills, whatever it is that you are servicing at this point. But remember that you should keep something aside. Keep something aside. So I always said, oh, I don't want to use my children as retirement plan, because now we know better. Unfortunately, our parents' generation, and maybe even before, because they saw that also being passed down to them, is they heavily depended on children, on their children. I mean, it was sort of like an investment, like, oh, I've taken care of you, so now that I'm old, you should take care of me. And I'm not saying we should not take care of our parents. Of course, we should do. But we need to start thinking of retirement, because you are also going to retire one day. And you don't want to be relying on people to do the basic stuff just because you refuse to plan. Because lack of planning for your retirement will haunt us at the end of the day, when we actually get to that time and realize that was it, like that's the end of the career. You've been asked to go, or you've just reached that age and you really can't perform optimally as you were in your 20s or your 30s or 40s. So have that plan in your retirement from day one as you are getting the job. I mean, that's one of the regrets I have. It's not too late. Maybe if you're probably like me thinking that it's not too late, you can always plan to do this. See, the day you know something, or the daylight comes, that's the day that your morning has come. You forget all the times or all the years that you say, oh, but I've been doing this, but I've been doing that. The day you know, or the day you have knowledge, is the day your light comes. So when you know this, know that as a young person, please don't waste all that money. It's not worth it, buying all the latest gadgets, all the shoes, bags, hair, cards, whatever it is. Save that money for your children. In fact, the Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. So we are even the ones that are supposed to leave something for our children, not us feeding off them, right? So make sure you start to plan and prepare for retirement for day one. Set something aside. Now, the number three thing, is it the third or the fourth now? I think it's the fourth one I'm talking about now, is don't use your 10 hands to eat. Now, that's a proverb. That's what they, in the southwest of Nigeria, there's a way it's been said, but I'm just translating to what it's been said in English, is don't use your whole hands to eat. You know, in fact, as a career person, some of us have really fantastic jobs that we are even being paid 13th month, maybe not in the UK, which was quite surprising to me. But some companies in Nigeria usually pay 13th month. Some even pay bonuses, even here. Some really nice or good companies, depending on the contract, even pay bonuses. And I really do think that those are the extras you can do, or you can use to buy stuff, get into the property market, get into some sort of kind of business. I mean, let the money work for you. The first thing when you do after collecting money, after paying your tithe and offering and all that, is start thinking of what can we do. Except again, God has given you specific instructions on what to do with it and how to spend it and all of that. But you should have somewhere that your money is going into, or somewhere that makes investment or has returns for you. So it could be land, it could be getting into property, it could be assets. I mean, anything that the Lord has you do, please do it. Just like Mary told Jesus, or the people at the wedding, the servants at the wedding said, whatever he asks you to do, do it. So in this season, don't use all your tenants to it. Forget all the, again, to my previous points, all the wigs, all the hair, all the things that people want to buy, the flashy stuff, the just wants people to show that you've arrived. Trust me, it's not worth it. There's still a tomorrow. Some people won't go to the extent of saying, ah, maybe Jesus is coming. We don't need to, let's spend everything we have to spend now. Let's finish everything. Tomorrow will always take care of itself. Tomorrow will take care of itself, but you also have to plan. I mean, there's a part in the Bible that also says, who want to build a tower? And not first sit down to plan, like, okay, we want to build a tower. How many stories is a tower? How many blocks will we need? How many laborers will we need? How much will they pay, take per day? You know, all of those questions, you have to sit down and think of how it is going to happen. So it's the same thing where you have the opportunity to be able to be paid bonuses 13th month. Don't always just think of now or material things. Think of investments. Think of long-term things that can bring profit for you in your old age when you're not able to work. Because for me, I want to be the kind of grandparents that says, oh, I want to take my kids, my grandkids on vacation and all of that. I don't want to be a for lack of a better word out there, I don't want to be a burden on my kids and start demanding and being a source of concern, sort of. I mean, words fail me right now, but you get what I mean in terms of plan for your retirement, plan for yourself. You've done the best for your kids, and they also have their own families to raise. They're going to grow up and raise their own families, which is obviously their priority before you as a parent. So please don't use your 10 hands seeds, especially in this season. I mean, that so many things are a bit tough and rough and all of that. So ask God where he wants you to put the money, and God will guide us as always, in Jesus' name. Another bit would be, if you're a Christian and if you believe in tithe and offering. Now, especially tithes, there's been so many things about it, so many conversations about, oh, should we pay tithes or should we not pay tithes? Oh, is in the Old Testament, we should not do it, we're under the New Testament, and all of those conversations. But this is the way for me I see tithes. So when I see tithes, I see it as beyond what even people have said and all of that. It's just me saying, I commit to giving you this percentage every month, or I commit to giving God this percentage every month, and I stick with it. And when I say give him every month, it's not as if God needs our money or spends the money, right? But it just shows that you're saying, God, you gave me 100%. Let me just use an example. So you gave me 100% wisdom in the month of January, 100% knowledge, understanding, 100% health. I am just giving you part of that money to say, it's just like acknowledging God to say, you know what, I acknowledge that you are the one that gave me all of this. Because if you are, God forbid you now, if you are sick or you are critically ill, you cannot work. If something happens to your enemy, you are incapacitated for one reason or the other, you are not able to work, right? So for me, tithe is just even beyond the New or Old Testament. The thing is, commit to, it's a financial discipline. I think that's the word I was looking for. It's a financial discipline. to say, you know what, 10% of whatever it is I earn, 10% of the wisdom, 10% of the health, the knowledge, we can never repay God. We can never, ever, ever outgive God. It's not possible. So that's the way for me. I see tithes and also offering and seed sowing is the same thing. There's a portion of the Bible that says there's one that withholded more than necessary. The word was more than necessary. It's not because that God doesn't want you to look nice, buy good things. Of course, the Bible says he wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So he wants us to look good and all of that. But the key word for me, I think I'll probably put it in the end or in the notes for this podcast. The one that withholded more than necessary. So there's an amount you have or you keep, and there's always an amount that goes. It cannot stay with you because it will rot. I mean, we look at it sometimes as money as paper and say, but it's in my bank account, but it cannot rot. When I mean rot, it can rot on different things. You spend money on things you're not supposed to spend money on. That's the month maybe your phone will spoil. The money that you didn't want to spend, you will end up spending it on fixing or repairing your phone and all of that. Tithes for me, I think, is something that should be mandatory. Same with offering also. And then seed sowing. This one has to be done out of direction and exactly what God has told you about it. So it's not just sowing emotionally and saying, oh, this person's message touched my heart, I just want to give. No, it's asking God sometimes what you should give, right? It's not that you have maybe children's school fees and all of that, and or you have a joint account with your wife, and then you say God says we should sow it, but God also talks to me too as the husband or as the wife or whatever the case may be. So seed sowing is another really, time will fail me to talk about how that has really impacted my life. I remember one time when I was really single, I was in a church then, and I think they called out for people that wanted to give, was it 10,000 a month? I can't even remember the amount. But I think it was 20,000 a month for 3 years or so. I think it was a church building project. Even though then I didn't really understand what I was really doing, honestly. I just decided to do it. I got into it, did it. And maybe some of the things that I have now are a result of those blessings or those seeds I sowed way back that I can't even remember. It's really been such a long time that those have happened. So I've seen these things literally work in my life. Pain of tithe, offering, and then also seed sowing. Now, the last bit for me, I'll say, is have side income. So yes, this looks like contradictory one because I'm talking about career person and all of that, but also we need to have side incomes. And the truth is, most times you don't have to be the one to run these things. It can be something you are investing in, a business. Someone wants to begin a company, a startup, you put some seed capital in it. And then imagine the business blows and then you are not even a co-founder, but you get some returns on what you've sown in the time past. So have side incomes. Some people, for them, it might be monetizing your skills, your talent. It can be anything. So the parable in the book of Matthew, I believe, talking about the master giving some people 5 talents, 2 talents, and the last one. And the one that really struck me was the 1 talent that didn't do anything with it. And then the master said that the least he could have done, that's the least he could have done. The least he could have done is putting it in the bank. Now, for me, that interpretation or that interprets for me to be that even if you're not using your skills, right, to collect money, or you're not trading your skills for monetizing your skills, right, the least you can do is put it in a bank. So put it in the bank will mean, okay, I know how to sing. I'm singing in the church. I'm still using the talent, right? Even though it might not be for money. I know how to cook. So when people need to go for an outreach, I can say, oh, you know what? I am going to cook for 10 people. Or I'm going to sponsor the food or something. So that, for me, is putting your talent in the bank. I mean, that is the very least that you should do. But that you will not use it at all, or you will hide it, is what God calls unprofitable, and is what God calls unfaithful. So we should learn to put our skills, I mean, it's even needed in this year, in this time. There's so much going on, recession, there is food crisis. I mean, you've been hearing famine is coming for the longest time, and famine really is coming. So you need to be able to step aside and say, you know what, I have to make the most of what God has given me. So you will not earn a salary forever. When I say that, you will not work that job forever. It's only for a time. And the truth is that this time really comes fast, and you will not realize when it has gone. So you need to start thinking of your tomorrow, thinking of what you want to leave for your children, thinking of how you want to make an impact in this world, because that is what will be remembered for. Nobody is taking one naira or £1 or $1 or 1 shilling or 1 cedis, whatever it is. Nobody is taking one. In fact, if I want to say it in the Nigerian way, then nobody is taking shingbai to the grave. We are going to go. I mean, the least we can do is they do for some, even in some religions, I think they don't even dress up or whatever. They just tie them with a cloth and all of that, and that's it. That's the least that people are going to do for us. Just one clothes. Even that clothes is going to rot. Nothing is going with us. Literally nothing. So it's whatever God has given us in terms of talent, skills, however we can help people as much as possible. Please help. Please do. I remember a time where I used to have, like, it was not so much, but it was just a certain percentage of my salary that used to go to someone. So it could be the cleaner, it could be the cleaner at the office, it could be a driver, just a small percentage. It was nothing much. I think it was 1% of my salary then or so. But make impacts. That's all just what I'm saying. So in as much as we're trying to gather all the money, trying to save for tomorrow, trying to do that, remember that nobody is promised tomorrow. And perhaps you're thinking, I've gone 14 years in my career, I've gone 15, 20 years. Where do I start from? I do not have an investment. I don't know what to do. The truth is, you can always start from where you are, whether you are in career or you are even an entrepreneur. You should start from where you are, and I am rooting for us all. And at the end of the day, we'll make it. I pray that we hear the words come into my bosom, good and faithful servant. So yes, on that note, that concludes today's episode of the Career Series. And I'm so thankful for sticking with me. So in case you've not listened to the other episodes, my career highs, my career lows, you might need to, you might want to go back to the ones to listen to it. And I pray that that really blesses you so much. And I want you to join me on the next time as I explore another topic. So the month of April is going to be a mom series. I'm going to be talking about spending time with God as a mom, and some other really nice conversations that we're gonna have in the month of April. So you should look forward to that one. And remember to follow me on Facebook and on Instagram at Conversations with Dams. But until then, take care, and remember that you are not alone on this journey. Have a good evening, guys. Bye.